It is Thursday, May 25th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, President Donald Trump lectures NATO leaders over insufficient spending on defense.
NATO members must finally contribute their fair share and meet their financial obligations.
Taiwan's Constitutional Court approves same-sex marriage, and a new film explores what it's like to be deaf. It's all ahead. British Prime Minister Theresa May says she will raise concerns Thursday with President Donald Trump over U.S. leaks to the media revealing details of the Manchester, England bombing investigation. Media reports say police working on the case are reportedly furious about the disclosures and have stopped sharing information with their American counterparts. Both Trump and May are attending the NATO summit in Brussels. At the new NATO headquarters, Trump publicly addressed May on the subject of the Manchester bombing.
Prime Minister May, all of the nations here today grieve with you and stand with you. I would like to ask that we now observe a moment of silence for the victims and families of the savage attack which took place in Manchester.
Trump also called for an emphasis on terror investigations.
The NATO of the future must include a great focus on terrorism and immigration, as well as threats from Russia and on NATO's eastern and southern borders. These grave security concerns are the same reason that I have been very, very direct with Secretary Stoltenberg and members of the alliance in saying that NATO members must finally contribute their fair share and meet their financial obligations.
I spoke with VOA White House correspondent Steve Herman, who's traveling with the president. I asked him about tensions between British authorities and their American counterparts regarding the leaks about the Manchester bombing.
It's absolutely a big problem, and in the eyes of many of the British investigators and a lot of people in the United States, it's unbelievable that this happened. Obviously, what they're upset about is information that is critical about the investigation is now public, and in any crime case, if you have information out there in public, if you're interrogating witnesses, then they know a lot more information than they would regarding what the authorities know. So the British have made no secret that they're very upset about it. Theresa May said as much, said she was going to raise it with President Trump when she talked to him today, and they have essentially suspended information sharing, at least on the Manchester bombing case, until they get commitments from the United States that this isn't going to happen any longer.
Well, intelligence sharing, though, certainly is a two-way street, and say the United States learns something that perhaps could be of use to their British colleagues, maybe even to do with the Manchester bombing, because the suspect was known to have traveled internationally in the weeks before this incident took place.
Right. That's why the information is shared. But the problem here in the eyes of the Brits is that it came out in public and that photographs, forensic photographs from the bombing scene ended up on the New York Times website and in the newspaper. And to them, this is just stunning. Now, President Trump has issued a statement saying that what happened is intolerable, and he's asking the Justice Department to find the leaker, essentially, and prosecute anyone who is found to have leaked to the maximum extent possible under the law.
Well, in addition, President Trump is at NATO, the new NATO headquarters, and spoke to other NATO leaders today. He called on NATO members. He mentioned that some had not fulfilled to meet their financial obligations. How were his remarks received?
Well, I think the leaders expected he was going to say this and that he was going to be blunt, and he was. He said it is unfair that countries that aren't committing 2% of their GDP to defense are not living up to their pledge. And he also said that this is unfair to American taxpayers, and everybody needs to do their fair share. So I don't think there was any surprise this was going to be said, and he said it. And Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg was expecting it. He was alongside the president at the lectern when the president made this remark, and he has also said that the alliance needs to step up its game as well.
Well, Steve, in addition to his other remarks, Mr. Trump also commented about NATO. Now, during the presidential campaign, he basically characterized it as an obsolete organization. What did he say about it today?
Well, he definitely noted that when America suffered an attack on September 11th, 2001, that was NATO that invoked Article 5 for the first and only time of coming to the defense of one of the members in need and to provide that aid and support. And NATO, of course, was a big contributor in the subsequent war in Afghanistan. And now there's a desire for NATO to go back in with a larger presence. And I think the president now does see the importance of NATO, but he wants to use NATO for his global security priorities, which involves the battle against Islamic State. And the United States wants NATO to firmly commit to the alliance to fight the so-called ISIS. And that is, there's a bit of a split in NATO regarding that. The Western European countries now do see terrorism as the major threat that they are facing, along with the United States. But for those countries on the Eastern Front, they see the threat from Russia as the biggest matter that NATO has to contend with. And that's why NATO was set up. It was a bulwark against the Soviet Union and its satellite states. And they feel very strongly, especially with what's happened in Ukraine and Russian incursions into other countries, especially politically, that NATO really has to continue to make that its priority. So this is a very interesting split right now in what should be the priority for NATO, and will really determine what this alliance is going to look like in the future.
Well, you are currently at the new NATO headquarters, and there's a portion there of the Berlin Wall and also a part of the World Trade Center that was attacked, a small portion, and that building, of course, was attacked on 9/11/2001. What is it like?
Well, it is a very impressive building. I'm standing inside of it in the room the atrium, I guess you would call it, where the so-called family photo was taken with the leaders. And it's a very modern architectural design, a lot of glass, very sharp angles, triangular shapes. And it's obviously a very impressive building, but I'll leave it up to architectural critics critique it. I'm definitely not an expert, but I do like the fact that it has a lot of glass windows going up for many stories. And so at least where we're standing right now, you have both shadow and light coming in.
VOA White House correspondent Steve Herman. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. So, Andrew, what's happening?
Well, that NATO summit is getting a lot of talk on social media. Two incidents in particular pertaining to President Donald Trump. The first is his speech that he gave there where he said that 23 out of 28 members of NATO are not paying their fair share. They need to be paying more money in. Lots of people on social media saying that was not the right time or venue, even if they do agree with that sentiment that those countries should be paying more. Said it wasn't the best time to do it while they're standing there and you're trying to dedicate a memorial to September 11th. Others going as far to say it was embarrassing. But then people saying NATO should pay up, and why is the U.S. footing the bill? So it has raised a conversation about that and drawn attention to that issue. There's also an incident involving the Montenegrin prime minister where President Trump is walking with the group of leaders from the NATO countries, and he appears to push the Montenegrin prime minister out of the way in order to get to the front of the group. So lots of people analyzing that video, disbelief that he seems to push him out of the way, but people saying, no, he was just giving him kind of a friendly pat on the back. So it depends on your interpretation of that and what you see when you watch that video. But something I think that everybody can get behind. Today is the 40th anniversary of the release of Star Wars in theaters.
Hard to believe.
Yes. So hashtag Star Wars 40th trending on social media as people remember where they were when they first saw it. Fans around the world of this movie, as we were just talking about, one person said, oh, I saw it at a drive-in movie theater. And people saying, are those even around anymore? Do they have drive-in movie theaters? So shows how long it's been around and stood the test of time. And of course, the new movie's coming out. But fans all over the world dressing up today, putting their favorite photos, moments from the films. It really is a worldwide phenomenon and one that's being celebrated today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Andrew. That's social media editor, Andrew Palshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. Iran claims it has built a third underground missile factory. Congress and House Speaker Paul Ryan condemn clashes at the Turkish embassy. A U.S. congressional candidate has been charged with attacking a reporter, and reports say the U.S. job market remains strong, but merchandise trade deficit gets worse. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on the VOAnews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists estimate that there are some 750,000 pieces of space junk circling Earth. The accumulating space junk has become a real threat to operating spacecraft and even astronauts conducting spacewalks. Assistant Professor Vishnu Reddy of the University of Arizona wants to help keep an eye on space junk, so he recruited 5 undergraduate engineering students to build 2 telescopes to track satellites and space junk. Reddy says not only are the new homemade telescopes quite practical, but are very inexpensive, costing less than a third of the money it would take to buy them off the shelf. After a ceremony marking its first light on June 20th, one of the telescopes will autonomously run each night from a former storage facility on the UA campus. The location for the second telescope hasn't been determined yet. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, a new film explores what it means to lose your hearing. Taiwan's Constitutional Court has ruled overwhelmingly in favor of same-sex marriages, the first such ruling in Asia. The court secretary general, Liu Tailang, said for two people of the same sex who want to lead a life together, that does not affect the meaning of marriage between people of the opposite sex, nor does it change the social order that is built upon heterosexual marriage. He said same-sex marriage can now become a stable rock of society, along with heterosexual marriage. The ruling Democratic Progressive Party, DPP, which swept to power a year ago, supported the change. The court has given the government 2 years to alter laws and allow gay marriages to proceed. Asian Studies Professor Emeritus Bruce Jacobs of Australia's Monash University tells International Edition's Victor Beatty it was a significant ruling, underscoring one of the key civil rights battles around the world.
This constitutional court ruling was overwhelming. 2 of the justices opposed it and 1 recused him or herself, but the other 12 members of the Constitutional Court agreed unanimously that same-sex marriage is protected and is important.
Well, socially conservative attitudes still prevail across Asia. Do you expect other countries to follow suit?
Well, I think we've got to be a bit careful when we use this term about socially conservative attitudes across Asia. I mean, there's socially conservative attitudes in a lot of places, including the United States and Europe, and in Australia, even though these socially conservative attitudes, also appear in places where there's lots of liberal attitudes. So I think to sort of say that Asia is conservative is not correct.
Do you expect other countries in Asia to follow suit?
I hope so. But, you know, in Taiwan, the progress has been slow, partly because it's been opposed by certain conservative, socially conservative groups, including some Christian groups, not all Christian groups, and some other sort of groups within Taiwan. but the Constitutional Court ruling was just overwhelming. It said that procreation is not a requirement of marriage, and that the stereotypes which had affected same-sex people advocating same-sex marriage were prejudices from the past and had inhibited the rights of these people, and that this needed to be fixed. And the Constitutional Court did something very interesting in the Taiwan case. It gave the legislature 2 years to formulate and change the law as necessary, and it said if it didn't do that within 2 years, then it would just come automatically into effect.
Is this an issue that has been percolating for a long time, or did this come all of a sudden?
And it's been percolating for the last several years. The general feeling was when the DPP government came in, there was a bit of surprise that it's taken as long as it has. And to some extent, about half of the members of the Constitutional Court have been appointed by the current government. But, you know, still it was an overwhelming, almost unanimous decision.
That's Bruce Jacobs. He said while there's been some liberalization towards same-sex marriage on the Chinese mainland, he's not aware of any legal changes. This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world. And you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
This is International Edition. A new movie from Golden Globe and Oscar-nominated director Todd Haynes, Wonderstruck, weaves together the stories of two young people who have lost their hearing. As VOA's David Byrd tells us, deaf actress Millicent Simmons is winning high praise for her portrayal of Rose in the film.
Wonderstruck is two stories woven into one. When Ben, played by Oakes Fegley, loses his hearing in a 1977 accident, he runs away from his Minnesota home to New York City. He eventually makes his way to the Museum of Natural History and then to a bookstore that sold a book his now dead mother had with the inscription on it, "Love, Danny." In 1927, Rose, played by Millicent Simmons, escapes her overbearing father in New Jersey and travels to New York, seeking a silent movie star, Lillian Mayhew, played by Julianne Moore. Turns out, Mayhew is actually Rose's mother, and when she threatens to send her back to her father, Rose runs away to the Museum of Natural History. The two stories intertwine in the 1977 blackout in New York. Wonderstruck premiered at this year's Cannes Film Festival in France, and 14-year-old deaf actress Millicent Simmons is being hailed as a breakthrough. Simmons, speaking through a sign language interpreter, told the AP that she hopes that her performance will inspire other deaf and hard-of-hearing people who see the film.
I hope that deaf people will see that, you know, they understand the experience of facing obstacles in the hearing world because communication is not always easy. And it's difficult sometimes, but I want them to understand. I hope the message is that hold on, there will be people there for you, and you can do anything you want, not only be an actor, but a writer or an airline pilot. There is anything you can do, and don't be afraid. be brave. Face it.
Julianne Moore, who plays Lillian Mayhew and then later Rose in 1977, says that Simmons brought life to a role in which she didn't speak a single word through the whole film.
She's someone who is very engaged, is, you know, really, really sees. And her ability to be alive on camera is wonderful. And that's what we all want to do. I mean, that's what we all want to do as actors. And so working with her is like working with a peer. There was no sense ever of working with someone who wasn't experienced or was a child. It was just like, here's my scene partner. What scene are we going to do together?
Director Todd Haynes, nominated for an Oscar for his 2016 film Carol, said that he was mesmerized by the way the 14-year-old Simmons pulled off her role.
And I was, you know, and you kind of are like, you don't want to jinx it. You're like, maybe she can't act, and maybe once you put a camera on her, it's going to be really bad, and don't breathe. And even Laura Rosenthal, my casting director, and I didn't want to say too much to each other about how much we were falling in love, because we just didn't want our hearts to break, and we just kept watching her progress through the process with other kids. And man, did we ever luck out.
Wonderstruck is a joint production from Roadside Attractions and Amazon Studios. It is competing for the Golden Palm at Cannes and has a theatrical release date of October 20th in the United States. In Washington, I'm David Byrd.
Thank you, David. Well, Chinese student Yang Shuping issued an apology on Chinese social media after delivering a graduation speech in which she compared the fresh air and politics of her homeland to those in the United States. In a commencement speech Sunday at the University of Maryland, Yang described her experience of landing in the United States and not having to wear any of her 5 air pollution masks. People often ask me, why did you come to the University of Maryland? She said, I always answer, fresh air. Yang went on to say that she would soon feel another kind of fresh air, that being the fresh air of free speech. Video of her speech was viewed more than 50 million times on Chinese social media, prompting intense and swift reaction. Yang issued an apology saying she had no intention of belittling her country. Well, that's our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Jerusalem, the second stop on President Donald Trump's first overseas trip, he reaffirmed the unbreakable bond of friendship between Israel and the United States, a friendship built on our shared love of freedom, our shared belief in human dignity, and our shared hope for an Israel at lasting peace. We want Israel to have peace. We have so many opportunities in front of us, said President Trump, but we must seize them together. They include advancing prosperity, defeating the evils of terrorism, and facing the threat of an Iranian regime that is threatening the region and causing so much violence and suffering. President Trump expressed hope for a more peaceful future for the region. Indeed, President Trump said the leaders he met with in Saudi Arabia all voiced common concerns about ISIS, about Iran's rising ambitions and rolling back its gains, and about the menace of extremism that has spread through too many parts of the Muslim world. America welcomes the action and support of any nation willing to do the hard but vital work of eradicating the violent ideologies that have caused so much needless bloodshed and killing in the Middle East and all over the world. I believe that a new level of partnership is possible, said President Trump, one that will bring greater safety to this region, greater security to the United States, and greater prosperity to the world. This includes a renewed effort at peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. America stands ready to assist in every way we can, said President Trump. Our deep and lasting friendship with Israel will only grow deeper and stronger as we work together in the days ahead.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage,
www.voanews.com/editorials.